Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Denise O'Brien. Good morning to you, Denise.
Good morning, LaVon.
Denise, you've just recently had a group of visitors from Afghanistan, and that was arranged through the Department of State, the U.S. Department of State, the Bureau of Education and Cultural Affairs. Why were these folks visiting in Iowa and the United States?
Well, these people were chosen in Afghanistan to come to this country, and they were invited into Iowa through the Iowa International Center that's based in Des Moines, and they have these groups of people through. This particular group was looking at nonprofit management and women's empowerment. And so my involvement with this group was from my history of working with and founding and being the director of Women, Food, and Agriculture Network. So their interest was, how do nonprofits exist? Where do they get their money? How are they financed? And what good does it do to bring women together, kind of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the group was, the majority of them were women, but there were also some men along. And you had a bit of background about some of these folks. I mean, they weren't all the member of a certain group. They had all kinds of backgrounds, I believe.
Yes, they did. They came from nonprofits and from government. I think those, you could say those were the two main categories. And the nonprofits, women were working with, like women's shelters. There were two women here from women's shelters. And there was a woman from, it was called the DAWA. And when I was in Afghanistan, we worked with the DAWA, and that's the Department of Women's Affairs. So that is a governmental organization. Okay. So, yes.
And I believe you had a gentleman here who was involved with, I'm going to say politics, not the campaigning to run for office, but how all of the systems work.
The elections process, yes. And since they're a new and emerging democracy, I believe the State Department was bringing them to here. Some of these people, like you say, it's a mixed group of people, looking at our democracy and how it functions.
Now, they spent only a short time in Iowa, but they were in and have been in the United States for about 3 weeks, I believe. What do you know, just a couple of the other places that they were visiting?
Well, they came here from L.A., and they had been looking at nonprofit management out there. And from here, they were going to Boston. And I think their whole trip here was, 3 to 4 weeks. They were going to be leaving the first week of October.
Let's just talk a little bit about the Women, Food, and Agriculture, because, as you say, you were a founder of that, and that's, I think, one of the really important reasons that they were visiting here with you. And just an aside, I think that, we would think that they came to see your farm and all the things you're doing here. We'll talk a little more about that. But that was not the main reason they were coming to see you. It was more with the nonprofit.
That's correct. And as they were very much interested in things like, the uses of public research, social media, new technology, that they wanted to share the challenges of training, funding, board development, and volunteer recruitment. So all of the things that we do, in Atlantic Iowa, when we have our little groups that are always trying to raise money to be able to do some, historical preservation or, the care centers, these are all nonprofits, and they've never had that exist in their country before. So they're trying to see how that system of volunteers works and how it is operated.
When you say that, it's just kind of like mind-blowing to think about. I mean, we've grown up always having volunteers and people helping people and not getting paid for it. To think about that not existing is pretty mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they've been a war-torn country for so long that, and we're afraid with the Taliban there and that to even be neighborly. People were very isolated, and especially the women were isolated. And so this is something that they have to introduce into their country and get away from that. This is for me and myself, but it's for my community.
Yeah, very good points, Denise. And of course, as you mentioned, you worked in Afghanistan for a couple of years. That's probably another reason why they felt really comfortable coming to see you here on your farm. What were some of the reactions or some of the things that they, because they weren't here to learn about farming necessarily, what any reactions or, something that happened that you go, oh, yeah, this is the way real life is?
Well, they didn't like the grasshoppers. We went out to look at the garden, to look at my crops that I have in now. And of course, as many of the listeners will know, there's in different parts of the county, I'm not sure everybody has a different story about grasshoppers this year. Well, mine is a story of invasion. And so as we walked out there, they were startled by all these bugs. And then, you know, yeah, and I forget about how urban people just aren't used to those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And did they find any food they really liked out of your garden?
Oh, yeah. They were really, the tomatoes and rice didn't come out of the garden, of course, but we found a recipe that was similar to the food that I ate when I was there, and it was rice and shredded carrots and raisins, and then it has some cardamom. There's different spices that they like, and they were thrilled with their meal that they had here.
Okay, that's great. But then they, as I understand, they also found some rhubarb.
Right. Oh, yeah. They came walking up from the rhubarb patch, and everybody, they had leaves, and I was standing back by the barn, and I thought, what are they carrying? And they were carrying back, yeah, a lot of rhubarb that they had picked and were eating. And it was a specialty. That's just a special fruit, or I guess rhubarb's a fruit, I'm not sure, but in their country. And so they were peeling back the skin and eating the middle, and they just, all they wanted really was a little salt for it. And it just made my mouth just, oh, man.
I'm thinking that's all the way we're going is, yeah, like, oh, how can they do that? Because we almost always put a lot of sugar on it when we eat rhubarb. But that had to be a really fun experience for them. Now, in the dinner and as you're outside, one of the, I guess, challenges is communication.
Oh, yes. And they had about four interpreters with them. And some of them, in fact, one of the interpreters actually knew a woman I was roommates with in Nangarhar when I was in Afghanistan, in Nangarhar province. So we talked about her a little bit, and they are very good English speakers. Some of them are born in the United States, so they were speaking a language called Dari. And our Farsi is the other word for it. And in Afghanistan, they speak two languages, and one is Pashto and one is Dari. And so, yeah, so when you talk to a group like that, you say a few sentences, and then the interpreter says, and then what's funny about it is then all of a sudden you're not a part of it anymore, and they're having this discussion among themselves about explaining to each other about what the interpreter said about what I said.
Do you understand, and did you understand any of that from your experience in Afghanistan?
No, I wish I would have learned the language or more of the language, but there wasn't the opportunity. It was a disappointment to me. I thought we'd have language classes, but we didn't. And but you can kind of, with the gestures and some of the words that they don't have as Afghan words or as Dari in that, you can kind of get the gist of what they're talking about.
I'm sure you can see if they're excited about what's going on, if they're concerned, if they're questioning. I mean, yes, we do communicate in a lot of different ways. So again, this Women, Food, and Agriculture ongoing group here, and started just locally. How big is that now, Denise? Because I know you're a member, but you also have leadership that's moved on with that and really made that a big organization.
Right. I believe they're at like 3,000 members nationwide. So I'm not so associated. Actually, the one thing I did talk to them about, the Women, Food, and Agriculture has a mentor-mentee program, and so I'm an experienced woman farmer, and I've been matched with an inexperienced woman farmer, or want to be, and so I have this young woman who comes over from Avoca and works with me on the farm here, so we have this mentor-mentee relationship, and they were very interested in that when I told them that's how young people are learning to farm before all the knowledge is gone, and from older, experienced farmers, and that really hit a spot with them.
That would seem to be a really logical kind of thing that maybe wouldn't be too involved, but yeah, But again, maybe not being familiar with that's even a possibility. So another experience, Denise, to add to your big book of experiences. You are writing a book, correct?
I am writing a book. I say that publicly now. But I'm working on a memoir / how to farm type of book. And some people will probably laugh at that. But I've been urged to do it for a long time. So when winter is again upon us and I can come in out of the fields, then I will be working on that.
Okay, and you have so many experiences to share around the world and with people from around the world. So go for it, Denise. So thank you very much, Denise O'Brien, for visiting with us about this visit from Afghanistan. And until next time, here's a thought. Somebody said, there is no tool for development more effective than the empowerment of women.